Dr. Glenn Denning, we're back on Total Disruption. What's going on with you today? How are you?
It's a beautiful day out. The Michael LaBerse, how are you doing today, man?
Fantastic, man. I'm ready to get into it. I am so fired up. You and I have this webinar coming up on May 13th, right?
May 13th.
And, it's this webinar clinic, right? We're removing webinar. We're talking about clinic. This thing goes a step above just an informational webinar. We are teaching live on May 13th. I can't wait. Details will be in the show notes on how to get there. Total-disruption.com. You can check it out there too. Look on our socials. I have a story and I want to share it with you and I want to unpack it because sometimes I need some coaching and I like to use this show to leverage you for some free coaching, which I shouldn't be telling everybody, but I'm telling everybody.
I think everybody's figured it out by now. a little bit of that. I think everybody's on the show understands.
I'm a scammer. I'm getting one of the best coaches in the industry and I'm getting this shit for free. So it's like, yes. All right, cool. The whole reason I wanted to do Total Disruption was just to get free coaching. So I am in the world of, speaking of coaches, I'm in the world of like sports and youth, and I seem to be running into a ton of like alpha personalities. And I'm going to say alpha gender neutral personalities, alpha female, alpha male. And there's this sense of entitlement and this sense of overarching that I'm receiving. Now, again, I could be triggered because I'm typically an argumentative guy. I'm empathetic, but I'm always sort of reactive and ready to like kind of not fist fight, but I'm ready to like defend myself and assert myself. So some of this is me, but it got me thinking. With our clinic coming up, with the way we talk about communication, I wanted to run this by you because I feel like I'm representing a sect of our population in everyday life and in a professional setting where people are trying to communicate and they're trying to hold their own and they're not trying to cave, but they're trying to still be themselves and get something done. Me, I'm just trying to get through a conversation without absolutely turning it into something that it shouldn't be because I'm A, either misreading the conversation or B, I'm not in the environment to need to be there, right? So I have a framework, but when I say, you know, alpha personality and I'm running that by you, when that flows through you, what are you feeling? What are you hearing me say here?
Well, I go a different way on this one a little bit. Obviously I'm not in the conversation, so it's difficult for me to fully get a perspective of the two people next to each other, right? Who they are, what they are, what the circumstances of the conversation are, who is on what path, right? And we talk about this, and we're going to talk about this in the clinic as well, is what path are they on? Are they blue, are they orange, are they red? Is where I'm starting to really lean into more than just alpha personality and just lumping people kind of into the buckets, right? Let me try to circle this a little bit cleaner here. If Mike and I are having a conversation, I could easily say, okay, we're both alphas. We're both in that particular way. We both have our, so I would, in order to, for us to connect, we would both have to have the exact same energy in order to connect. That's not necessarily true. Okay. If Mike is agreeable, we're both alphas and we're blue and we're agreeable and we're aligned, we can be the same energy, we can have the same passionate conversation about the thing, and we're probably going to get somewhere. But if Mike is charged, he's orange, he's just kind of like a little standoffish a little bit, maybe questioning a little bit, and I show up as a blue and I'm totally agreeable and I'm assuming he is, we're not going to connect. We're not getting there. We're not asking the right questions. And if he is in the red space, he's activated. He is pissed off about whatever's going on in his universe. And I just make the assumption and I approach the conversation the exact same way I always would. We're totally not going to get there. So for me, when I think about this personality piece, and this is partly why we've been marching down the road we have for the last year and a half, is it has more to do with the emotional state you're in and the emotional state the other person is in order to get us to a place of agreement. And that's all questions and curiosity. So when we're talking about that, you know, historically, yes, I think you're accurate, because we've been trained to say, okay, well, that person is a introvert, that person is an extrovert, that person is an alpha, that person is a driver, to lay those labels on them. And yet that may be not what their natural state is. That may just be the state that they're in the moment. Now, I'm not saying that's true or untrue, but I'm going to approach it from a space of, I want to assume they're in that state in the moment, and I'm going to ask a universal question that's going to get us started in that conversation. So that's where I'm going with it in my head.
Well, I think you're talking about one of the skills that I've developed when I'm in a community, when I'm clear and I'm not in a state of, you know, chaos when I'm communicating with people, is I like to do the old 30,000 foot to zoom in toggle, right? I'm like, okay, what if this person and I were in a soap opera, or we were in a movie, and like the camera panned back and zoomed in, panned back and zoomed in. Let me look at how we both look emotionally. Let me look at body language here. If someone was listening in, and then let me zoom in and go right back into, now that we're together here, let me figure this out before I start running my mouth and let my mind go 1,000 miles down the road. This skill takes a lot of training, and it takes a lot of just inherent want to learn. But it's imperative that you install it at some point, because if you don't realize, and some of us who realize who we are, in other words, when we talk about he's comfortable in his own skin, or she's comfortable in her own skin, or they're comfortable in their own skin. Sorry, all of you gender-esque people out there that I'm missing. Please excuse me. All of us are comfortable in our own skin. It comes down to having that ability to pan back, look at how you look in the conversation, or look at how you look when you're on stage, and then also zoom in to what it looks like while you're interacting and reading somebody. I like being on sports sidelines. I like, or making plans in a group. Most of the time when I'm in a group setting and somebody asks the question, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And I literally say, I really don't care, guys. I'm just, somebody make a plan, let's go. I am totally comfortable with somebody else driving the bus, right? I don't sometimes care. And I'll get into whatever somebody else wants. I don't always want to make a decision. That can be misconstrued as being a beta. It's not. I'm an alpha in my, hey, I'm comfortable with whatever you want to decide. On the flip side, though, I've done that so much that I almost feel guilty when I assert what I want to do. Because then I don't know if the activity is going to live up to everybody else's expectations. It's weird. It's this weird conundrum. And I've given in to people when I didn't want to do something and I regretted doing it, and I found myself doing it more times than not because I reprogrammed myself to be amenable, that I had to deprogram myself to say, wait a minute, if you really don't want to do something, don't do it. Now, this comes into play in a workplace environment where you're with people in a sustained amount of time. This comes into play where you're making plans with friends and you're in a group environment where, you know, everyone is, I would say, 4 to 5 times in 2 months together, and you're doing this. This is also in a place of agreeing or disagreeing to do something for somebody that, you know, you're in a workplace environment where you have not asserted yourself and you're doing things that are becoming impractical, right? So these are 3 examples. Now, not unpack that when I say, you know, before I deploy the framework, how does that feel with context? Am I right on there?
Yeah, I think you are. And I want to, I giggled when you brought up the soap opera thing, simply because, and I think it's a brilliant analogy, by the way, because they do very dramatic camera zoom in, very, you know, what a great frame up. A great visual representation of where you need to go. My brain immediately went to Spanish soap opera, and I was trying to place Michael as who's the character in the Spanish soap opera. And I plugged him in as one of the doctors because he's got that, you know, that great side eye thing. My brain went totally a different direction on Spanish, but what a great visual reference on that. So looking at that particular speech, there's really one question that I was taught years and years ago that I think would apply in that particular space. Sometimes it's totally, you know, we do that. We say, hey, it's totally okay. You guys make the decision. We take a back seat. You guys make the decision. I'm good with wherever we're going to go, right? We have taken on now that responsibility that we are now good with whatever the thing that may be occurring. Now, we've given permission to go do the thing, okay? We've said we're okay with it this time. If it comes up again and we were not actually okay with it, this is where we have to, I don't want to say put our foot down, okay? But that's the old adage of, okay, I'm going to put my foot down and say no in this particular, because that's where you jump too far the other way, right? You jump over the original one, and now it's like, well, he's kind of a jerk. He doesn't want to do that. There's a fairly simple question in there that we have to ask, and this was taught to me years ago. Do I have permission to be totally honest with you? Almost nobody is going to say, actually, no, I want you to lie to me. Like, nobody's going to say that. They're going to be, yeah, tell me honestly. Hey, we did that last time. Not something I particularly enjoyed. I'd like to throw an option out there for you. So I use that question because this is simply a get permission to reset the state is what mm-hmm. I'm suggesting here. Get permission to do so. Because the more times, and especially those of us that are tend to lead the conversation or do the thing from the front. If we allow something the first time, it's a choice. If we allow it the second time, it's a decision. We have now said, this is okay to do in my world. You can't let it get all the way to the third. If you let it get all the way to the third, you're stuck with it now. You know, once you've done it twice, you can try something new. You can let somebody else take the front seat if it didn't work out. But then we just have to change the state. We have to get permission, whatever the question may be. We have to get permission to be able to change it. You know, hey, let me, you know, would it be okay if I offered a suggestion? Whatever that is going to be. You have to buy back in at that point is what my suggestion is, because we can't just step in front of everybody and go, okay, Mike is no longer in control. I am in control. This is how it's going to go, because we are going to come off not authentically. We're going to come off as kind of an ass, plain and simple. So we've got to check our state in how we're going to do it. And sometimes, again, that's a reaction piece. If you're like, hey, we all went out, we went roller skating last Friday. I freaking hated that. And you come back in, you go, no, man, that was stupid. We're not doing that. Because you just, when you gave permission for that person to make the plan, now you're telling him it was a dumb plan. Like you're pulling further away. So the best way to come back into it is ask a question. Get permission, ask a question, offer a suggestion. Now we have buy-in from the group, and now we're able to move forward.
Yeah, that's great, because when everyone says, I don't care, whatever you want to do, hey, let's go here, let's go there, you may also be stimulated to make a different decision. Mm-hmm. Again, we're in the context of repeat behaviors here, right? This conversation is not about an initial, you know, two people getting to feel each other out. It could be, right? But most of the time, what I'm talking about is in an environment where you want to either flip the script, assert yourself, you're tired of always doing what everyone else wants to do, or you feel constant regret by giving in and doing what someone else wants to do because they're an alpha and they're being themselves without being intentionally trying to manipulate you, right? They're not trying to manipulate the situation or always control it or always speak in an authoritative manner.
So let me give you this plus one on this one real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but let me give you the plus one on this one. I think where you're getting into trouble, and I'm just using Mike as the reference here on this one, because a lot of people do it. I am guilty of doing it. I've heard that statement so many times. Somebody says, hey, you want to do this? I don't care. I think that particular piece of language, I think that is where we need to reframe there. If we reframe there in that moment, get rid of that behavior, that particular phrase, we change it to something else, we're going to be able to set up future conversations. We're going to be able to set other things up in a different way because of the way that we're going to show up, right? So when we say, you know, hey, Mike, I'd like you to do this thing. I don't care. You can pick whatever you want to do. That's fine. I get what he's saying. I kind of understand it. However, it's setting up the context differently, right? If I'm new to Mike's world, I'm brand new. I'm not looking at that phrase with any context, any historical data whatsoever. My brain just said, well, Mike doesn't care. He's going to let me take over and just run this show and go this direction. But that's not true, right? So let's postulate that for a second. There's a big word for this morning.
I wonder if I can keep up.
I know. So what would you change it to? How would you change the phrasing from I don't care to you have some buy-in, but you're allowing, you're granting permission for the other person to make the decision in this situation?
I would change it to show up on May 13th to our clinic and learn how to communicate better and hang out with us. Total disruption communication training, fresh every day. How you doing? Those of you who know that reference. I would show up May 13th, go to total-disruption.com, register now, get in, space is limited. Let's go, people. I would phrase that like this. Hey, today I'm amenable to just about anything. I'm in the mood for food. I'm in the mood to go here, there, anywhere, have drinks, wherever. I'm in one of those moods today where I don't mind doing whatever you'd like to do. So why don't you pick, and today we'll do your thing. You know, that's an easy disarming framework that suggests
that's it.
I'm allowing you to make a decision today because I am amenable to anything. Or I've been making so many decisions this week. Why don't you pick? Because if you've got something you really want to do, I'm in the mood to experience something I wouldn't think about. Why don't you take over? Yeah, let's agree to go where your family wants to go. Or let's agree to, I'll agree to go wherever you want to go tonight. And you can pick. Or, hey, you know the area better. I'm in the mood for Italian. Let's, do you know any Italian place? So, again, generic specific.
Each one of those is 100% better. Absolutely. Absolutely better.
Allowing somebody to understand time or truncating it down to, I'm in the mood to go see an action movie. Or I would like, again, let's say you're on vacation and it's multiple families or something of that nature. You're in a sports trip. I'm in the mood to do something outside tonight. Let's pick. I'll let you decide. I don't want to sit inside. I don't want to, go to eat bratwurst. I want to go somewhere else besides that. Just be very specific what you don't want to do. That's another alternative, right? But again, frame it up. If you know that at some point you're going to want to make a decision, and even if it falls on its face, it can't really fall on its face because you've also just set that person up for success.
You've set a bar. You've set an understanding for them to go. Absolutely right.
You do go to a restaurant, or you do go to an experience, or you do go to an adventure park, and it sucks. It's not on the person. It's on the provider. Mm-hmm. So you haven't even breached that relationship. You haven't done anything that should suggest, last time you picked this activity and it sucked. Or you're in a workplace. Hey, last time we did it your way, look what happened. No, that's not it. You framed up a context. You allowed that person, that alpha, or that person being an alpha, or that person being a red or an orange, you allowed them to feel it, own it, do it. And the next time it's on you, knowing, right, here's that 30,000 zoom in, zoom out, you might have the same exact result when you pick. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, Jake. I know some of this stuff sounds like a rabbit hole, but it's really not. If you are a type of person that is interacting with human beings, or you're interacting with your own memory the last time you interacted with a human being, this struggle is real. This context is real. It happens all the time. It happens in teams. It happens in families. It happens in friend groups. It happens in co-ed friend groups. It happens on sports teams. It comes even down to the most ridiculous stuff. Like, I'll be sitting on the sidelines at a sports event, and the older you get at this and the more sophisticated people are at this, as stupid as this sounds, hey, why is that person playing that position in this game? They're not the best fit. Notice somebody's not attacking a kid. They're attacking the skill set. They're attacking the configuration. They're trying to be respectful. And when you do say it like that, it does make a little bit more sense because you're now making a scout type decision. But at the same time, you're talking about youth sports. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to be an alpha. You're trying to assert yourself. And it seems a little bit stupid when you pan back out. I know you want to learn how to win, and I know it's a teaching moment. But just think about the context of that real quick. You're thinking that deep. Strange. What do you think?
I still do. I love the zoom in, zoom out concept. I also want to point out, and I'm not going to ask Mike this question because I don't want to trap him because we didn't prep this or anything. So I'll just preface this in this. As a leader, if you consider yourself a leader, and the reality is you're a leader, every single person is leading somebody, whether you believe it or not. Somebody's always watching you. You have one job, one job. Your one job as a leader is to develop more leaders. That's your one damn job as a leader, is to develop more leaders. As Mike is talking about how to allow accountability, how to allow someone to take responsibility just to make a simple decision. Where are we going to dinner? Instead of saying, I don't care, that's where Mike's going to go, you know what? I actually am in the mood for Italian. Pick an Italian place. I'd like to sit outside. You let them take ownership of it. And again, it's not that they failed as a leader, but he allowed somebody to step up to lead an experience. And if the experience wasn't what everybody wanted, well, that's on the provider. We don't come back around and go, well, I gave you a chance to lead last time and you totally dropped the ball. We don't do that. We go, okay, so last time we went to this place, that place sucked because of the waitress or because of the dinner or because whatever else was going on. Let's try a different place this time. That's all we have to do. Your job as a leader, whether it be in the community, whether it be on an athletic team, whether it be in a friends group, whether it be in a boardroom, your job is to develop more leaders. We do so by allowing people to lead. We have to give them the opportunity to do so. If you have to tell people, I'm the leader, you're not. Let's get really clear on that. So I love that. I love how that morphed into a leadership teaching moment around how you approach it, right? How you're approaching these conversations with, and some of these, the reality is some folks that are, I've seen it, especially at that space, right? It's been a little while since we've been in the youth sports space, but man, I'm never going to forget it. Can't possibly be is that that's going to happen. There are those in that space, and I would say in every space, that are craving the opportunity to lead. They're craving it. They're dying to get out there and lead and do something, right? Whether it's a, hey, I want to run the snack list this year, so that I make sure I'll run the calendar, I'll manage all the parents. That's their idea of what they're going to do to lead this year. So how do we help them? How do we promote them? How do we build them up so that they can lead? Right. That's just it. I wouldn't say that's a tangent, but that's, if you approach that conversation knowing that you're a leader. This is where, you know, Mike, I know, is a leader. It's what he does. He has led huge companies for years and years and years and years. Knowing he's that leader, how he can build more leaders. I know he's doing it with his boys, but he gets to do it every day, you know, as he drives a bajillion miles between sports events all over the East Coast. He gets to build more leaders all the time. I'm envious of the fact that Mike gets to spend so much time building leaders.
Well, so I have to toggle a lot of my emotions, but I typically am the guy that just says what everyone else is thinking. Like, I have this analogy where, like, I'll go to my buddy who's my kid's head coach, and I'll say, listen, and I'll say this in front of a crowd of people. I said, I've got a strategy in terms of playing time and where I'd like my kid to play. Now, baseball, right, if we have two games, right, and at this level, one level, it's 6 innings of baseball. So we have 12 innings of baseball, and there's 9 positions. What I'd like to do is I'd like to start out the first inning, and there's positions by number, with my son at 9, next inning 8, then 7, and I'd like him to play every single position, working his way back to finishing a pitch. And everyone busts out laughing because I'm just saying what everyone thinks, right? And then I said, to boot, I would like there to be no other fielders when my son is pitching. I'd like to be no other fielders on the field. Just have a catcher. And sometimes you don't even need a catcher. Oh my God, it's such a laugh when I say what everyone else is thinking. It's the best. And I'm going to break into our next episode here because we're running out of time today with a fun analogy I use in youth sports. Jake, yeah, we have about 20 seconds. You have anything to add today? You've been a wealth of information and some free coaching for me. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm all about it, man. Nope. That my one thing I would leave everybody with is this was told me years ago. Everything you do is a job interview. Everything. Somebody is always watching you. You are mentoring, you are role modeling, whether you think you are or not. How are you showing up to mentor and role model? How are you showing up as that leader? Are you going to win that job interview just in the way that you exist day to day?
Awesome. Thanks. My name is Mike Liberace for Dr. Jake Clendenning. You were just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.